Hello and welcome to the 101st episode of the Spacey Nerd Podcast. We're one down from 100 and everything's already gone to hell. Jesus again, and joining me tonight is Ryan and Rex.
Hey guys.
Space City Nerd 101! What's up?
Woohoo!
Dude, I'm so tired. I've been dealing with my computer the other day. I don't know what happened. I had some kind of like registry failure in one of my the main disk drive, and I can't get back into Windows. And today, after spending a couple of hours trying to fix it, and instead of wiping one of my drives, I was just like, wow, I'm just going to get a new drive. I can't lose any of the meme pictures I have in my drives.
That's years for the meme pictures. You can't.
Yeah, I need to buy one of those like disk burners that have like those disks that save up to like 10 years or 100 years or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to get one of those RAID drives where you can like make copies of your hard drive, just plug it in, and just put that copy somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna go grab one of those like 10,000, the ones that last for 10,000 years, and put it in like in a nice good envelope and just throw it onto the sea, and then like in 10,000 years they're gonna look back and find a disc full of memes.
Yeah, like the best. Who is Pepe? They worship a man, a green frog named Pepe.
But not only that, so since I'm not on my regular PC, my beloved fiance let me borrow the laptop to record tonight, so I have no access to my music collection, so things are going to be a little bit weird. And normally when we don't have a guest, because hey, guess what, our guest couldn't make it either. So that makes us two for two on bad news or bad juju. We're going to wing it, and hopefully this is going to be one of the best episodes ever, because we always have one of those every week.
I hope so.
Every episode is the best episode ever. Hey, someone's going to like it. We're like, yeah, look, that was awesome.
So first of all, we are Space City. And right before we started the recording, we learned that Red Duke has passed away.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Ryan, you want to talk about Red Duke? Only because you're older than Rex, so you know.
So Red Duke, he's a surgeon from Houston, and he's been around everywhere. He's kind of like every time the news has talked to like a medical expert is Dr. Red Duke, and he has this iconic mustache. He has this country twang. He's awesome. What people know him for, he's very instrumental in introducing Memorial Hermann's Life Flight program. So you all don't know who that is. It is basically making helicopters into ambulances. I don't know if y'all know this, but like a long time ago, my dad got in a bad car wreck, and Life Flight actually took him, Memorial Hermann. So you know, dad's alive and well because of Life Flight.
I mean, Life Flight is super important, and it spread out to different other like hospitals right after, you know, Memorial Hermann adopted it as well.
Yep.
You know, because I know UTMB has it too, and a couple of the other places around here. But yes, real iconic doctor from Houston.
There's a school named after him in Alvin now. Actually, they opened it up like a year ago.
Ooh. I'm pretty
sure
it's
Red
School.
Red Duke like Elementary.
I think it's Red Duke Elementary. It's Red Duke something school.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
To actually name it like Red Duke.
Yeah, because that's what people know him as. I think it's for like his first name is like James Duke. Yes, James.
Yes,
Duke, but
James.
Everyone calls him Red Duke because he's super Texan. I love that about him. He's like, hey.
Wasn't he a military doctor also?
He worked on the guy that got shot when JFK got shot.
The governor of Texas at the time.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit. No, okay. So I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. He was a tank officer in the 2nd Armored Division of the U.S. Army.
Yeah, because I used to always see him wear, like, the... he used to have, like, an army bandana all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And also... Yeah, and he also had the army pin and stuff, but...
Before recording, I was talking to Rex, and I was like, we're talking about Red Duke, and I said, if one of us actually just accomplish a fourth of Red Duke, what Red Duke has accomplished in his entire life, we would have led a successful life.
Yep.
And he 86 years old. That's a long time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're sad that he passed away, but, I mean, he left a huge mark, and he left the world better than he found it.
Yeah, yep. So rest in peace, Red Duke. Hopefully we'll have other doctors that follow in your footsteps and stuff. Yep. Moving on to something completely different. Rex, you watched the Full House thing this week.
Oh, God, right? Yeah, that came on Saturday. It came on Saturday night. I didn't watch it until Sunday. It fucking sucked, but in a more entertaining way than the Saved by the Bell one did.
I was going to ask, would you rather watch this instead of Saved by the Bell?
Yes, by far. I actually want to rewatch it. Like, Rhea and I watched it Sunday night, and we actually, like, enjoyed it. It wasn't like the Saved by the Bell one, where we were just kind of like, this is painful to get through. And a lot of that was because the guy that played Bob Saget, one, he looked more as our friend Devin Kraft, who does Dragon Slayer, pointed out, like, the day after. Bob Saget in that movie, the guy that plays him, looks like Dennis from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, okay.
And wait, what's up?
From the screenshots that I've seen, he actually looks like Balky from Perfect Strangers.
That too.
Yeah, you mentioned that too. Earlier.
God, yeah, but he comes off as like a serial killer pretty much. Specifically, there's a part, I shared it to Instagram and Facebook, but there's a part in the movie where he's trying to joke around with fake John Stamos on set. And but
he doesn't look very pretty. John Stamos is a pretty man, and that guy... not close.
That guy is not pretty at all. He just has, like, John Stamos-y eyebrows, I guess. But, like, the Bob Saget guy, like, kind of, like, stares into his eyes, and he's, like, trying to joke with him, and he's like, you know, if I swung that way, I'd peel you open like a soft-shelled crab. And it just comes off as, like, cringy and kind of, like, serial killer-y, and his, like, whole vibe is just, it's, like, Bob Saget by way of fucking the Waco guy.
Like David Koresh?
Mm-hmm.
You just describe Bob's that guy as David. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Rash divisions, so, everybody.
Yeah.
So since you are a lifetime movie expert when it comes to stuff like this, are all of them kind of like that?
I mean, a lot of Lifetime movies are really bad, but few of them, like, only recently, I feel, are they getting back to the point in time that they were in the 90s when they had hits like Co-Ed Call Girl. Where it's getting, like, bad enough to be entertaining again. Actually, because, I mean, we only hear about the really big ones that come out, like, obviously, like, Full House and that A Deadly Adoption that came out a couple months ago with Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell. But they crank out these movies. There's all these other ones that we don't get to hear about that they just keep cranking out and cranking out. Like, when Rhea and I... house set for her aunt, like, in Pearland, like, a couple months ago last, I watched, like, they had Lifetime Movie Network on, and there was a newer Lifetime movie, and I don't remember what it was called, but I watched about, like, 45 minutes of it, and the movie was about, this girl who's a, she's, like, a honor student that turns into a prostitute, and she gets murdered within the... It sets it up like the movie's going to be about her and her struggle as being a prostitute. And then they kill her off in the first, like, 15 minutes, and it becomes about another prostitute that takes her identity and uses it to, like, go to college and fall in love with this boy who then... like, and it turns into this, like, romantic comedy out of nowhere. And,
Your name was Shirley.
Yeah, and then she, like, falls in love with this really, like, well-off boy who then finds out about her past, and then it gets real sad again. And that was a weird fucking movie, but it was way more entertaining than all of these Lifetime movies. And the fact that they're, like, doing all of this kind of stuff on a consistent basis again is making me really happy.
But they're doing what sci-fi does, and just crank out really, really shitty movies, and sometimes one of them sticks, like that movie just said, or like Sharknado, which, like, now is like some sort of, like, pop culture phenomenon, but it was one of those BS movies that sci-fi was pumping out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember watching I wish I could remember it. So there's a movie called Sasquatch Squad, and it's basically a ripoff of Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
But okay,
I'm listening.
This is not the point. There's a kid in there, the main character. He acts like a preteen Napoleon Dynamite. Mm. like the protagonist. It's so annoying. I don't know why I bought it. I just guess I thought it was funny to buy it or something. Sometimes I buy really stupid movies. So I was watching it, and then I was watching Lifetime, and I was switching channels, and that kid was on a Lifetime movie. The Lifetime movie was about him being like a really good student at one point, and then slowly turning into being a porn addict.
I want to watch this. I'm Google Fooing this right now.
Like, it came out to the point where, like, he was destroying his life and his school and his girlfriend, and, like, his girlfriend left her PDA at his house, and he picked it up and started, like, watching porn on it. And then she came back for it, and that's how she discovered and, like, let him go.
I did not see this version of Napoleon Dynamite.
I won't.
No. The Sasquatch Squad is a movie about some kids that are searching for Sasquatch, but it has, like, a lot of teenage stuff or whatever behind it.
Hey, I found the movie, by the way, the Lifetime movie.
What is it called?
Cyber Seduction, His Secret Life from 2005.
Wow. That's when you could have gotten away in back in the internet. Now you can't.
Yup.
Wow. So, okay,
Hey, Justin Long is in the Sasquatch.
Yeah. Justin Long is one of the things that actually redeems it. He just plays like this asshole dude that just comes around and laughs. And then he has like a shirtless companion with him the whole time.
Yeah, I see that in the... from the guys that brought you Napoleon Dynamite, Sasquatch God. Okay.
Oh, well, never mind. I guess that's why I picked it up.
Also, I'm looking at this Cyber Seduction movie, and I have actually seen this and forgot about it because I was really drunk when I watched it. It was really good.
It was really stupid, though, when I saw it. And I couldn't believe it was 2005, and they were still doing, like, Palm Pilots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it took place, like, it could be a period movie.
Yeah.
It took place in the early 2000s.
I don't know, because Lifetime, no matter what, is always, like, a step behind in technology.
We're also getting, now I'm on Lifetime's website, like, looking at all the movies, we're getting the unauthorized Beverly Hills 90210 story in October.
I was gonna ask what's the next one?
I wanted Perfect Strangers. Like, Perfect Strangers would have been really good. And there was another one, like, because Rhea and I have been talking about this a lot, like what they should like do unauthorized stories of. There is another one that I really wanted. It was a really good idea, and I cannot remember what it was now. I know it wasn't Family Matters because I read up on Family Matters, and there wasn't enough behind the scenes drama to make a good movie of it.
Yeah, well, it's just that they wanted to make a blue-collar Cosby show, and they got overtaken by a nerd character, and they're like, now it's going to make it about the nerd character.
what was the name of Balky's roommate in Perfect Strangers?
God, I want to watch Perfect Strangers.
Not Balky. I don't remember his name because he wasn't Balky.
What if like the unauthorized one is just like his roommate trying to get him deported the whole time?
That would be great.
It's a Larry.
Larry, there you go. Larry and Balky. Yeah. Man, I remember them.
So, I would want to watch, like, the unauthorized Nickelodeon Guts. Probably some bad stuff happening in the background. Guts.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unauthorized dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, unauthorized dinosaurs. Yes.
Unauthorized Guts would literally be like an hour and a half of Mike O'Malley sitting in the back room area eating buffalo wings and drinking beer, I feel. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what happened on the show.
The aggro guy looks small. Put more trash underneath it.
It's just how they rig family. Accordingly, like, I don't like this family. Make this, competition harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, unauthorized double dare with Mark Summers is in the background smoking.
And freaking out every time he gets slimed.
I feel bad now. I like Mark Summers. He did a bunch of like stuff after that dried up. That Nickelodeon stuff dried up.
Yeah.
You mean Gax, the slime dried up?
Yes, the slime. I always thought that there'd be like a slime fountain over at Nickelodeon, and I actually saw it at Universal Studios when I was a kid, and I'm like, that's not that crazy looking. It's an office.
But they don't have it anymore. The other day I walked into Toys R Us and I found, I don't know if it was, I didn't see the rest of it, but it looked like it said glow-in-the-dark GAC.
Oh! Is it glow-in-the-dark gag? Because I know there's glow-in-the-dark slime.
Yeah, no, I think it was gag, but I'm going to go back and check it out and buy some, because right next to it, there's also, like, for some reason, Toys R Us is selling bootleg Darth Vaders.
Okay.
Yeah, you press a button on his chest, and, like, the most horrendous, like, beeping and smoking noises. No, it's more like the emergency broadcasting system is coming out of dark.
I thought you were going to, like, push it, and you hear,
like the modem. It's a combination between the emergency broadcasting system and a modem going off connecting to AOL.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So good.
I want you to record it with your phone and just send videos.
They're like $3, so I might pick one up. Yeah.
Also,
so you're a Robert Cop.
Also, an authorized Melrose Place story is happening like a week after 90210 story. I had to dig around the website to find that.
But aren't those two, like, most everything that happened behind the scenes, like all the hate and stuff, was already documented in different, like, magazines?
Pretty
much.
Oh, no,
Luke Perry is putting his penis in everyone.
Also, they're having a whole month called Unauthorized October, apparently. So hopefully they announce more of these.
Didn't they do the Aaliyah one?
Yes, I have the Aaliyah one. Rhea and I started watching it, like, a week or two after it came out, and it got real boring real fast. Like, it should not have been boring, but it was boring. It was mostly, like, from what I remember, like, it was, like, her and R. Kelly, like, sitting around the studio and him being, like, vaguely abusive towards her, and also the guy that they got to play R. Kelly looked nothing like R. Kelly.
Oh, dear God. They're just banking on a lot of the publicity here. Shame on you, Lifetime. Shame on you.
No shame on you, Lifetime. Thank you, Lifetime.
Okay.
You make my life so much better.
It's like the guys from Everything Is Terrible got paid to, like, work for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, like,
it's
honestly.
Dwayne! Sorry if I say them. I think about Dwayne and how he dances, because Dwayne is awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, so, Rex, you should totally write an unauthorized movie.
I should.
Unauthorized Space City Nerd.
No, not for us. Just for, like, one of the sitcoms.
Yeah, I'll just be
yeah. I just need to start writing, like, scripts for Lifetime and sending them in, like, unsolicited. Like, I could write, like, Killer Hair. Let's read a synopsis of Killer Hair.
Wait, you should do the unauthorized Drew Carey, and we could get Sean to play him.
Yes! Oh, my God, that's perfect.
I read his book, the Dirty Jokes and Beer. I think was his first book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they had a whole, like, chapter of my penis is so big. it's like, my penis is so big it fought Godzilla in a movie, and then I started telling that to kids at school, and I got in trouble.
Did they tell you to stop?
You were in your mid-20s.
Yeah, this is 2 years ago.
Oh, I thought you got in trouble because they were telling you to stop telling lies.
Oh, I'm gonna leave now. You suck.
All right, well, we're gonna go try and chase Ryan back real quick, but we're gonna go ahead and leave you with the Full House theme, because once again, our music is so random and wacky this week.
Holds up Spork.
But all right, we'll be right back after this. The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV. Everywhere you look, there's a heart, a hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look, there's a face of somebody who needs you. Everywhere you look, when you're lost out there and you're all alone. So, of course, that was the Full House theme song. You could find that if you lived in the early 90s and you watched TGIF on Fridays.
You know those houses they live in? You can't afford those. Those are like multi-million dollar homes.
Yeah.
Was it? What do you think it was back then?
Probably still. That's like prime real estate in San Francisco, and it's a pretty happening city for the longest time, ever since the gold rush, guys. So.
Well, they never complained about like money problems on that show.
It's a TV show. No one complained money problems in Friends, and they were they lived in like a nice apartment and like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have money. They don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
What did Bob Saget's character do?
He was a news anchor or something. Because remember, Rebecca was the other one?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I saw the show.
Well, no, check it out. Yeah, because he was, like, on TV,
mm-hmm.
and then Dave Coulet was, like, an advertiser, no? Slash comedian?
Yeah, he was just a comedian. Yeah. According to Unauthorized Full House story, he was supposed to be on Saturday Night Live, and then that didn't happen.
He was also a murderer also.
Yes.
You know, according to the Unauthorized movie.
That was Bob Saget was the serial killer.
No, but they're all going to be murderers.
So yeah, the thing was he's supposed to be like this like really dirty comedian and they tried to make him like a dad. So I guess they upped up the creepiness factor for the for the movie.
Wait, what did Uncle Jesse do?
He
was in a band.
Yeah, he was in a band. Apparently he did soap operas.
No, like, as their occupation on the show.
Oh.
Why the fuck are we talking so much about Full House?
Why not? Why isn't Jacob Kaye on this episode?
He knows all everybody.
Yep.
Oh, you know with the new Goosebumps movie coming on? We should get R.L. Stein on here and then get Jacob Kaye to show up.
Yes! Yes, the grudge match.
Yeah, we're going to get Jacob on here to talk more about his gorilla saving campaign and also about the sixth extinction, but we'll let him tell the story of the R.L. Stein
sixth extinction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, R.L. Stein like completely blocked him on Facebook and it was hilarious. What's up?
I was gonna say, I forgot what Jacob did. He was just trolling him hard, right?
Yeah, that's all he did. He just kept
Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, to the point where R.L. Stein's like, leave me the fuck alone. So moving along, some weird stuff happened in New Jersey, I believe it was, the Pokemon World
Boston.
Tournament.
Boston.
Hey, you're going to go there soon, huh?
Yeah, hopefully I don't go to any Pokemon tournaments.
Man, we should have had Beaker to talk about this because Beaker is a huge Pokemon trading card game fan. So, but no, some guys tweeted out or social media that they were ready for the tournament and showed off some guns on their car. And then people got worried, came out, and it was funny because people were like, no, they're cool. Don't worry about it. These guys are really chill. Then they opened up the trunk and there were hundreds of rounds of ammunition and assault rifles and a shotgun.
Yeah.
So
I was like, guys. So
someone didn't get their shiny Charizard.
Wah, wah.
I mean, did we get a motive? Why the hell are they?
I have not seen anything because I've been trying to follow the story as much as possible. Like since it happened, I've not heard anything about a motive. Haven't heard anything other than they had guns at the Pokemon tournament.
Well, the dudes are sticking to the whole, it was just a joke on social media.
Yeah, but you have guns in your car.
Mm-hmm. They were NRA members. Maybe they're going to the shooting range afterwards.
Yeah, it's just no. But you shouldn't be making those kind of threats.
Exactly. No, it was a really, really stupid mistake. You know, I hate saying this, but the one community for gaming that I'm kind of surprised it hasn't had like a violent incident is like the fighting game community.
Yeah,
well, because they worked that out, and I think the fighting game community is the most closely knit video game community
and the most sane and like less.
No, they're not. I gotta show you some videos in, like the hardcore fighting game community.
Well, I mean, we know that I don't even know they have the problems, but what other community is as closely knit as a fighting game community?
Minecraft.
Minecraft have some sort of kind of like a church deity relationship where you have all these people, like all these saints.
Why am I Google searching Minecraft shoot up my school right now?
Right. So you're Notch on a list. God and all the other like streamers are like patron saints and everyone worships them.
No, the modders are patron saints.
So
Notch is God. The modders are the patron saints.
What about the streamers? The streamers are the priests.
They're the priests.
Ah. Yeah. See, that's not a community. That's a church. Or church is a community. Whatever. I just locally, I just know a lot of people in the fighting game community here in this part of Houston, in this part of Texas, I mean, and they're pretty chill people, and you know, kind of they stay in touch throughout the years.
Now the fighting game community, I don't think they've ever had like a major fight or anything like that.
Yeah,
like
there
any
really hasn't
physical.
Been anything.
No, because they're like you got a disagreement with me. Let's get on stage. Let's fight. Just fight it out, you and me. You know.
So I guess the actual fight is them venting out.
Yeah, it could be. And then like if anyone has beef with anybody, I guess they kind of be like, you gotta let your controllers, your hands do the talking, I guess.
Yeah. But why didn't these kids were gonna let the cards do the talking?
Gotta catch them all.
No, but that was really stupid of them, regardless, to make that social media thing.
Yeah, I mean they made threats. And they actually had the means to carry out said threat, so of course that people are going to take him seriously. So we still don't know what the actual motive is, but I mean, guys, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what the hell? Okay. Could you imagine, like, you know, they're doing Minecon or whatever, and someone decides to, like, while all these kids are at Minecon, they get on the best servers and just, like, explode all their houses and stuff?
That's like that episode of whatchamacallit, Mission Hill.
Yeah.
Kevin like left his computer and then his friend was taking over his fortress and then sold him to slavery. He's like, you should have been on your computer, man.
Would that be terrorism though?
Why would it be terrorism?
You know those kids will cry and.
Yeah, but it's in the game world.
But it's cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying for me to use the game mechanics to attack you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if I hit you, next time we play video games, you're going to be like, you can't hit me, that's cyberbullying. You can't shoot me.
Exactly.
Cyberbullying.
Well, no. I don't play Minecraft, but isn't there a thing like where you're gone, people just can come in and destroy your stuff?
If you have a persistent world, if you have a server, and the server's on all the time, yeah, they can fuck your shit up. Unless you're like, you have admin rights and you can kind of like, you know, control that shit.
Man.
Yeah, but servers, like, people's Minecraft servers are pretty hard to get into. It's like WoW guilds or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, I knew a friend that ran a server before. We went in there, and I was like, all right, that's cool. Played Minecraft for, like, a month or two, and I kind of lost interest in it.
I would rather play Pokemon than Minecraft.
It's fun to an extent because of the, like, building stuff.
Yeah.
But then it kind of gets boring. And then the whole, like, redstone kind of circuit, it's teaching kids circuitry back then when, like, Radio Shack was teaching kids about circuitry. So, you know.
Anyways, back to Pokemon. No, because drifted off a little bit. Yeah, that was stupid stuff. I know they're arrested. And that's all I heard about that.
Yeah, so we still don't know what the hell is going on, why they did that. So, also the there's a big age difference between the two guys. It's like he's 18 and 27. So I'm like, oh.
Oh, it's like his mentor or something.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's really creepy, and I'm upset.
Well, yeah. So the USA Today said they got a statement said the threats of violence were taken out of context. Now, why do you have guns?
Yeah.
I'm just joking, guys.
It was a lot of guns, too. Like, my old roommate Ford, like, calculated it all out, and it was over $2,000 worth of guns.
Well, you know why they had all those guns?
Mm.
Because war. War never changes.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Not gonna see anybody for 3 months.
Yeah, so moving on to that. Rex, I know you're excited because you're probably not going to be on the podcast next week. Are you?
I honestly probably will be as long as, I get off work by 7 on Tuesdays. It's in my, availability. No, I'll definitely be on, hopefully with impressions for Metal Gear.
I'm glad it's going to, we're doing it over Skype because you probably, sorry, right? I don't know your habits, but you might, not shower because Metal Gear.
Oh no, I will shower, and I bought it on on PC, so I mean I can podcast and play it at the same time. So
wait, with your Windows tablet, you can do it in the bathroom too, then?
Yes, I can do that. That's mostly why I bought it on PC. It's like, oh, I want to play it in bed. Oh, I can play it in bed. it's gonna be great. Cause I'm doing school this semester is entirely online classes, so I can leave it running in the background and oh shit, somebody's attacking my mother base. I'll tab out from classes and go save my stuff. It's gonna be good. I'm really excited. That being said, I'm kind of pissed because there was that launch trailer today that came out and it had some pretty big spoilers in it.
Hold on. For people that don't know what we're talking about, Rex is really excited because next week Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out. It's the closing of the Metal Gear saga.
Yeah, it probably won't be the last one, but it will be the last. Unless something really batshit happens, it's going to be the very last one that Hideo Kojima does. And Kojima's last game for a long while.
Yeah. And for a bunch of try-hard edgelords like Rex here, that's their Bible.
That's the thing, though, Metal Gear kind of has a reputation of being, a try-hard edgelord series, but it's, the exact opposite. It's pretty fucking wacky.
You haven't been cornered at a bar with a guy telling you how great Metal Gear Solid is and how deep it is, and you're, trying to leave the conversation, but he follows you around.
A lot of Metal Gear fans are Evan, because I've had that happen before, too. And I'm a person that really, really likes Metal Gear. It's my favorite franchise, pretty much. A lot of Metal Gear fans are Evangelion fans, in which they read way, way, way too much into it and, take things way out of context to make everything seem deeper than it actually is. The big difference between the two is because, if you take Metal Gear at face value, it's a military game, so it kind of attracts, people that are, that play Call of Duty, but they want something, a little weirder, and they like to get into, conspiracy theories about things that are going to happen in the game. There was a whole NeoGAF thread the other day where, some guy Googled, the number 5 and some, other, very, random numbers that he found in, Metal Gear trailers and tried to, decipher the plot of Phantom Pain, from that. And this was only, a month and a half ago. This is the kind of people that are into Metal Gear.
I wish Sean was on because I want to ask him how many people that purchase and play Metal Gear actually come back and be like, "What the hell did you sell me? This ain't no Call of Duty."
Happened a lot. When the second I don't know if you guys remember when the second one came out, people got really, really upset because the second one, for people that haven't played the second one, that's when the series went full batshit, and it has way more in common with something Spec Ops The Line than it does say Splinter Cell. It got even more weird and meta than fucking Spec Ops did too, and had a lot of it referenced a lot of postmodernist fiction and stuff, and it just got really fucking weird.
I'm sorry for people offended, but I stopped playing Metal Gear Solid after Metal Gear Solid 2 because, what Rex was saying, I kind of, played it and I'm like, what? Even though, what's her name is super cute,
Yeah, that's a writer.
That's a writer.
Is Emma Emmerich.
Emma Emmerich, yes, sorry. EE Comics.
Anyway, taking us down the Metal Gear Solid 2 rabbit hole, EE is the character of, it's Otacon's sister, who's underage, that he's kind of in love with, but he thought that she drowned one day while he was, like, masturbating to, like, her while she was swimming and didn't say anything. And also, he banged his stepmom. Yeah. And you find this all out in the same cutscene.
Also, yeah, you could like, trank her and then lay on top of her and Otacon will yell at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I told
you. I have to interrupt you, this with some breaking news real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge Astros fan, and once again, we're, you know, Space City on here.
Space City Dog!
Exactly. We've been doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Astros just beat the Yankees in New York.
What?
Wait, 15-1.
Fuck you, Yankees!
Yes. And there was a seventh inning where it was 6 home runs. In the first inning, they hit 5.
Oh wow!
Oh man, I'm low. Oh man,
I gotta watch this later. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know we're so nerdy, but I love sports too. So
whatever, Josh, get out of here.
Anyways, back to our incest postmodern game.
Video game edgelord to fedora tipping conversation here.
Yeah.
That and then it's just it got so weird, and like I love stealth games. That's like my favorite kind of games back in like the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 era. And yeah. I just kind of fell in Splinter Cell, and I thought Splinter Cell was like mechanically what I wanted more from the game, so I kind of just went that route.
I think it's very telling that MGS5 seems to borrow more from Splinter Cell and Far Cry than it does the older Metal Gears. Like, I don't know if you've played Ground Zeroes yet, but it feels a lot more like Far Cry, and, like, in particular, Far Cry 2, and Splinter Cell with, like, a little bit of a lot of Just Cause 2, like, minus
okay.
The hook in there.
With that said, though, Splinter Cell did kind of lose me in Conviction and Blacklist because I'm like, you're not being Splinter Cell-y. You're like kicking down doors, shooting people in the head. You're not. You sneak. You don't Jack Bauer your shit through things.
There was this good thing that happened with stealth games, like around the time those came out, and like Metal Gear Solid 4 too was real bad about this, where they were advertised as stealth games, but they were really hand-holdy, and there wasn't a lot of, like, actual stealth happening.
It's like tactical shooting.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
So, I'll be honest, I hadn't played a Metal Gear Solid game until last year.
What did you play?
And, no, so I bought the HD collection for the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably is not the best way to experience Metal Gear because of the controls being so bad.
Yes and no. I was trying to play. I remember having trouble with the Metal Gear Solid 2 controls, especially like trying to select my inventory. So it's not that. Also, I think playing it on a handheld is not the best experience. You got to be in a
TV. Yeah. No. So I was like, okay, you know what? I got this for like $15. I'm just gonna go and play Ground Zeroes instead because I bought it on a Steam sale for
like
$2, cheap.
Like a 5-6.
Yeah. So I sat down. I started playing it. And, okay, honestly, I watched the backstory because they have the option to give you what's happened so far.
Mm-hmm. And so you're I'm like, okay, cool.
No. The backstory, how they explain it to you, it sounds like some kind of military anime. It sounds like something out of Gundam.
Yeah, because it like takes place immediately after Peace Walker, which was the PSP one. And Peace Walker was, they kind of try to rein it in a lot with that game, but they also introduced a lot of anime tropes, which is really interesting.
No, but okay, so as soon as the game starts, though, it's like I have to go save a kid that has a headphone like stabbed into his like sternum.
Yeah, Chico.
Yeah, Chico. And also like bolts in his ankle, and I'm kind of like, what? And then right after that, I have to save Paz, the girl, who's like all beaten up in some like thing, and I'm like, this is kind of disturbing, even though it looks really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've seen screenshots, yeah.
But I'm one of those old school gamers that likes results now, and I didn't have the patience to find the helicopter after then. I haven't gone back to it in a while.
I like how you lost patience with a 20 minute long game.
Yeah, you have to call the helicopters in, like, you don't.
No, there's this one where it lands and it's like, we can't tell you where it's at, go listen for it. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
That's what they're talking about in there is like where, like, you have to use those sounds to figure out where Paz is, but you can do it without it. It's pretty easy to figure out without it, and then you figure out she's by, like, that one helipad, and it's like, okay. And then to get him out of there, like, you just call the helicopter down and...
I'm a big fan of MGS1. I played the shit out of MGS1 so much. And to me, MGS1 felt like an 80s action movie.
Yeah. You're
one man against things, and then at the end of the game, you have a shirtless man-on-man fight with the main villain, and you're like, yeah! And then you end with a car chase. So, I mean, like, so badass. And then it got weird and preachy, and I was like, stop, I just want an action game.
Did you ever play 3?
No, and everyone tells me I should play 3 and I will rekindle my love.
Yeah, I think you actually, like, because from what you've told me about, like, how you feel about the series and everything, I think you should play 3.
I do own the collection for the Vita, too, so I might just...
Yeah, it's a lot, they took a lot of the criticisms of 2 to heart, and it plays more like a standard stealth game again. You don't even have a radar, but you get, like, camouflage, which is really cool, and you have to, like, manage your camouflage and stuff, and I think you would like that one a lot more.
Okay, yeah, and I remember my wife was, like, playing a ton. Like, she played MGS4 as much as I played MGS1, where she kept playing it, and she got, like, the bullets that had the emotional bullets, and she was just,
yeah,
like, fucking around with all the NPCs, like, now you're angry, now you're sad, now you're happy.
Next week... Did you get the collector's edition or anything?
I got it on PC. There's no physical edition, but I did pre-order it, so I get some, like, bonus DLC.
Does the consoles have, like a statue or something? Where do they go?
Yeah, the so hand. There's a limited collector's edition for that I think is PS4 exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about getting that, but I'm not going to have a PS4 again until, like, probably January or so. Okay. Is when I'm going to buy a new one. So it comes with a model of, like, Big Boss's cybernetic arm, and it comes with, like, a bunch of, like, bonus stuff. And then there's the Day One edition, which is, like, the entire first print run of the game on consoles, and it comes with, like, a shitload of bonus DLC and, like, a physical map of something, I want to say. I don't remember. I'd have to look that up. And then, like, the PC one, if you pre-order it, you get a free copy of Ground Zeroes, which I already had, so I've got, like, a gift copy of Ground Zeroes. Hanging out my inventory, and then, like, some DLC from the console Day One version. So PC got kind of screwed over, but they did. Originally, the PC one wasn't going to come out until 2 weeks after the console one, and they bumped it up, like, right before I pre-ordered and paid off the PS3 version, so I'm glad they did that.
Oh, nice. Also, I saw the unboxing of the watch, and that actually looks pretty badass.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, really cool merchandise, like, this game, and I want
even if I'm not a big MGS fan, that watch, man, that watch.
Yeah, there's a whole, like, line of, like, jackets and stuff, too, that look really cool, but they're also, like, $300, $400 jackets, and I'm not spending that much money on...
I think the watch is either $299 or $399. So, but I'm like, man, that's a watch.
Yeah,
I'm actually fantasizing about the watch right now.
Actually, Rex, I just bought a smartwatch just so I could get that little template, so I can be like, look, Rex, I have the communicator on my wrist.
What kind of smartwatch did you get?
I got a Moto 360.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So see, if I wasn't such an Apple asshole. I'm not gonna say fanboy because I'm not a fanboy. I would have gotten a Moto 360, but the Apple Watch is, like, dumb and I hate
it. It's super expensive too, because I was looking at one, and recently, like, 2 weeks ago, like, we switched over from AT&T to T-Mobile because T-Mobile's, like, paying off all of our, like, fees and everything for doing that, and, like, our past due bills and stuff, which is really cool. I was looking at the Apple Watch because I could have, like, finance went off, and that still would have been way too expensive.
I don't see the point of it. And I'm one of those guys. I'm an original owner of the Pebble, and I love my Pebble. I kickstarted that sucker, years ago, and I love it. And I think it's a perfect companion. I think the Apple Watch is just superfluous. It's too much stuff.
Pretty much.
This episode brought to you by T-Mobile and Pebble, not by Apple.
Buy your Pebble time now. In stores now.
Another thing, on Sunday night, I went to go watch SummerSlam at Sean's house.
Yeah.
It's a big, you know, they've got WrestleMania, then they've got SummerSlam, which is like the complimentary giant event of the year for WWE. And it was a good time. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Watched Undertaker and Brock Lesnar and stuff like that. Had a lot of funny moments, like banter inside the ring that I don't know if they just let it go or they forgot to mute the mics and stuff, including such hits as Brock Lesnar screaming Suplex City, bitch, to The Undertaker. I will kill you, bitch, to The Undertaker also. Flicking him off. And this hilarious... You gotta go, like, look on, like, GIF Soup or whatever of, like, Brock Lesnar's laughing, and then Undertaker gets up and has the most insane-looking laughing face in the world. But there was one match that was really cool. They debuted a wrestler, Cody Rhodes, huge nerd, loves comic books. His wrestling boots used to have, like, the Triforce from Zelda on it.
Nerd.
And, yeah, they... Yeah, they mutated his character into something called Stardust. His brother's Goldust, who won the 90s. He used to be a very, I don't know how to say it, a weird fellow for the time.
Flamboyant.
Yeah, he was very flamboyant. He would kiss wrestlers, like in ring. Just really insane stuff. And so his brother followed kind of in his footsteps with this like weird maniacal kind of cartoonish Joker kind of character. And they've been building up his storyline to where Stephen Amell got involved. And so...
But you know, Green Arrow, guys.
The Green Arrow. Yeah, the Green Arrow actor. They had another guy. He teamed up with a guy named Neville, which is really funny because he has a finishing move called a Red Arrow.
Ah.
So you had Red Arrow and Green Arrow actually going around and doing their thing versus Stardust. And he had a partner that... His name is King Barrett. They call themselves the Cosmic Kings. Mm. The Lords of Darkness, actually. Very edgy.
So how does Stephen Amell...
Compared to other celebrities, which they've had people from like Drew Carey to Donald Trump to... but these guys were kind of like gimmicks.
Yeah.
They've had what's his name? Karl Malone.
Karl Malone! The mailman!
Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman.
All right. I believe Dennis Rodman. He's crazy.
Yeah, we're in a match and all that. And while they did all right, Stephen Amell actually was able to do a lot of wrestling moves, and he looked good out there. I mean, not natural. You know, he looked like he had a lot of help.
Right.
But he looked way better than any of the celebrities that have been out there, especially like Drew Carey, who just try to pay wrestlers to not like body slam him.
Yeah.
Well, but he does a lot of stuff in Arrow, so you know, he's a pretty fit guy.
No, he had the body. Like he was not flabby at all, and then he came out very athletic, also was able to like jump over the ropes. So it really seemed like a superhero fight. And I don't care if it spoils it or not, but Amell and Neville ended up winning the match. And last night on Monday Night Raw, the whole storyline kept going, so we'll see where that goes. Hopefully they'll end up bringing more like TV heroes onto there.
That'd be hilarious.
What's the crossover of that? It's really funny. The WWE is going to have Night of Champions in Houston.
Hmm.
And that's the same weekend as Comicpalooza Fanfare.
Ah.
So I'm wondering if maybe there's going to be some kind of...
Cross-promo?
Not cross-promo, but maybe... Some of the wrestlers are going to walk into like the fanfare or whatever.
They're like, what's up? I'm Brock Lesnar.
Well, Sting is fighting at Night of Champions, and Sting was a guest at Comicpalooza. So, who knows? You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I believe, since Sean isn't here, he had a statement for you to read.
I will read it in my worst British accent. My horrible.
No, don't do that.
All right, fine, fine. Sorry. So, I will treat you with respect, Sean, all right? This is how much I trust you. We are SCN brothers. Anyway, okay. So, he goes, I mean, the overall pay-per-view was good and fun. I actually liked the swerve at the end. To me, the biggest shock was the Undertaker, was actually tapping out. The Undertaker tapped out?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, damn. The screwy finish was just to keep it off the record. But that's huge to have him submit in spirit. Also, the women's match failed to live up to the hype after the previous night's women's wrestling looked like it was the hottest thing ever. Was it? Well, so, okay, tell me about this women's fight, guys.
So the... On Saturday, there was another fight, and they took off all their clothes in the ring.
So, wait, SummerSlam is 2 nights long?
No. The minor leagues to the WWE NXT had a match, and it was a champion versus not champion match. And, I mean, it was kind of seen that the champion was going to lose because they called her up to the main roster, to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. And but the match was pure quality.
Okay.
And in the second one, it was... three teams of girls or women, or this is what I hate. So in NXT, the minor league, it's the women's division, right? In WWE, it's the Divas division. And the belt is like this giant pink butterfly that says Divas on it.
Wow, that's okay.
That's great.
Yeah. And so, so they had three teams, and it was like an elimination match. There is a dominating, they're the twins. They're called the Bella Twins. One is married to John Cena. One is married to Daniel Bryan, IRL.
Hmm.
And so these are like the top of the crop for the Divas division, but they're not wrestlers. They're not very good at all. And so they ended up winning the night compared, you know, versus all these very, very talented wrestlers, including Ric Flair's daughter.
Oh.
So that's, I mean, yeah, it was really disappointing to see that. Actually, no, wait. They lost, but the way the people that were that I hate, those Bella Twins or whatever, they ended up losing, but it was a very cheap, like, washed out match. Like, I think Sean and I ate more pizza instead.
Well, I'm going to finish up his quote. He has one last sentence. It goes to show that shit writing and a directionless story can tank the most talented people in the world.
And yeah, that's true. No, it's true because there has been no change in the belt from John Cena's wife.
So there's like no drama or anything? Nothing's going on?
No, like, it's like, it's she's untouchable, basically.
That's kind of lame.
It is. So hopefully things will get better soon.
Also, I learned a new wrestling word the other day. Kayfabe. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yes. I just thought...
For those of you don't know, it's keeping the continuity within the ring. So you can't see two, like, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar are, you know, going against each other. Yeah. If you see them at like Buffalo Wild Wings like together, they're out of kayfabe.
Yeah, and you,
so
and what? Wait, so you gotta like remain in kayfabe just to keep the illusion of going, I guess.
It's okay in the 80s and the 90s. It was way easier to do that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Not with social media now. Huh?
Yeah, when that was social media, it's kind of really destroyed it. That's why like when people are like, "Oh, you like wrestling?" It's like, I know it's not real. I know it's just there for the storylines. Yeah. On the cameras and, you know,
it's comic books. Yeah, it's kind of like comic books, right?
Totally write some wrestling fan fiction, though, called Kawaii Fabe, where they, like, have to try to not break kayfabe, but they're, like, in totes in love with each other.
Oh, good
God. They just want to hold hands in public.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, go watch more of Dot Fliss's wrestling stuff. It's hilarious.
Oh, man, Dot Fliss.
Dad has some great stuff. Well... We're going to go take our next break. God, I can't believe this. We're going to play Chinese Ninja Warrior.
Yes!
By the Immortals.
Yes.
Off of the Mortal Kombat album.
It's Sub-Zero's theme.
Best song. And we'll come back and we'll let Ryan just explain everything about it. All right, we'll be back after this.
Your life is a mess.
So that was Chinese Ninja Warrior by the Immortals.
Hell yeah.
Ryan has such a hard-on for like playing this song.
I love the entire album, but that's my favorite song because it's kind of racist.
I was pretty racist.
And also I don't think Sub-Zero is actually really a ninja. I think he's more of an assassin.
Yeah,
he's pretty overt in the way he kills people.
But I thought ninjas were Japanese.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. They're very Japanese. They didn't even get the type of Asian right.
No, well, I mean, if you really, really want to dig deep, that the Chinese did have black-clad warrior, kind of like, you know, stealth warriors, but they weren't really called ninja. I mean, that's more of a Japanese word.
Yeah, exactly.
But so this album came out in the mid-90s, surprisingly before the movie. Because they had the Techno Syndrome song that everyone goes like, that Mortal Kombat, dude. That actually came before movie. It came in this.
No, how did this go?
That Mortal Kombat, da-da-da. Yeah, so I mean, it's great because they made a song for almost every main character in the first Mortal Kombat, I guess, except for Shang Tsung. But the people making the songs, they didn't really know exactly. They didn't play Mortal Kombat, so they're like, "So this is what they look like. This is what they do. Now make a song." So Kano's song is like, it's called "Use Your Might," and it's more like, you know, you can do it, Kano. You can fight. You can keep on fighting. But he's a bad guy. No one knows that. and then my other favorite is Raiden. He's called Eternal Life. So basically, they're like, Raiden's a god. He's immortal. So the whole lyrics are like, Raiden can't die because he's immortal. I'm just like, it's
Christ. Such,
it's well, what so if good. what if because the band was called the Immortals, they're already kind of like on the bad side.
Yeah.
And they're just cheering on for Kano.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And then Goro's song is called The Outworld Prince.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And then Sub-Zero is basically the bad guy out of him and Scorpion.
Scorpion's song is much more evil. It's called "A Lost Soul Bent on Revenge." And then, the funny thing about Sonya's song is when you hear the song like Chinese Ninja Warrior or Prepare Yourself or Johnny Cage, you kind of like have someone like singing, like a voice singing about that character. Mm-hmm. Sonya is like the female vocalist is like singing as Sonya, so it's really weird.
So it's kind of like that April O'Neil when they did the Turtles tour.
I gotta refresh my memory.
They did the the Pizza Hut one where the Ninja Turtles went on tour and they were the rock stars.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff.
The rock star one. Yes. Kind of coming out of my shell or something.
Yeah, the coming out of the show tour. Like April O'Neil had like April's Ballad or something.
Oh, so she was singing about herself. That's also very, very odd. But yes, if you can find it, just please listen to it. It's great. To be honest with you guys, I do play Chinese Ninja Warrior during work when I'm like, all right, I gotta crank out stuff. I need to be pumped up. Chinese Ninja Warrior.
Mm. So like, it's a good workout song then, right?
No, yeah. I mean, it's high energy techno from the 90s. It's the whole album's a good workout song. I mean, good workout album.
So, moving on from 90s video games that are really... Oh, God, I kind of really felt racist as I was, like, putting in that song. I'm like, no, I can't do this.
Liu Kang's song's called Born in China. Well, I'm like, yeah, you are born in China. You're Liu Kang.
Good guy.
Well, that's not a... I mean, it's the same thing as over here, you know, born in the USA.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen has that one.
Jersey boy.
Today, actually, since we're recording the night before, today YouTube is launching its competition to Twitch, which is YouTube Gaming. Rex, take it away.
I'm very excited about YouTube Gaming. People that have been following us for any amount of time and like the stuff I did before Space City Nerd will know that I fucking hate Twitch a whole lot.
What's wrong with Twitch?
Their servers suck. It's hard to like make good quality streams. The software, until they started letting people use Open Broadcaster, the software was too expensive and it sucked. And just in general, like, it's a dumb website.
I also heard like the Twitch will prefer its bandwidth to its more quote-unquote popular users.
Yes, they do that, which is why even if you pay for Twitch Turbo, it's still hard to get a stream, like, looking okay. And also, I don't know, I've got a laundry list of complaints with Twitch, but I don't like Twitch. YouTube Gaming is the first competitor in a while that looks like from the get-go will be able to compete with it on a decent level. Like, Hitbox mechanically was very good when that launched like a year or two ago, but it's been a lot harder for them to build up a community because they haven't really been able to advertise it as well. Mm-hmm. And like, the Hitbox has been ahead of the curve doing things like letting anybody monetize their streams. Like, anybody that whoever wants to like monetize it can do it. I believe Hitbox had an HTML5 player before Twitch did, and they also had 60 frames per second streaming well before Twitch did, for free, mind you. But YouTube is launching out of that, like completely out of the gate. It's going to have its own app and everything that apparently I haven't gotten a chance to play with it, but apparently it's a lot more mechanically sound than Twitch's software has ever been on devices that weren't computers. You're going to be... It's basically a more gaming-centered version of like their regular YouTube live streaming that they're doing now, except for monetization is going to be a lot easier. 60 frames per second streaming, obviously. And people that already have like gaming YouTube channels with a ton of subscribers will be able to parlay that easier into streaming as opposed to like having split user base between Twitch and YouTube, which is a major complaint of streamers as of the past couple years. So, and then they're going to be adding more features in the future. So I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be playing around with it a lot this week when I'm not doing schoolwork. So
what are you going to be playing on it?
Well, next week I'm definitely going to be playing Phantom Pain. This weekend I don't even know, whatever catches my eye first. And then of course, like Friday night when we all game, I'll probably stream that. So,
well, the on Friday night when we do the robot disco dodgeball, whatever, you should get us on there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to. I'm going to be playing around with it a whole lot.
So how do you sign up for this? If you have a YouTube account or I guess a Google account, you're eligible?
They had a beta like a couple months ago, like back in June, that I tried to get into, and I wasn't picked for it, I guess, because I don't really have a lot of like gaming videos on any of my YouTube channels that I mostly only use to like share funny clips with people or like do stuff for the website. But no, you just sign up for a regular YouTube account, and it's going to be there.
Cool.
And it's going to have, like, the other thing I forgot to mention is it has its own, it is going to have a program guide like Twitch does, and it's going to have its own, like, splash page separate from normal YouTube.
So it's going to have it's going to have its own, like, you know, live chat program now, not just a comment box, right?
Yes, that too.
Sweet.
I like how, I think Ryan only does it too. Like, Ryan and I just use our YouTube channels just to gather these horrendous like playlists that scare people off.
I have four videos on my, three or four videos on my YouTube, which is me video testing my camera at U of H. I think me recording something for Extra Life, and I don't know what the third thing is. And the rest are just horrible videos I found on YouTube.
Yeah, no, that I think like. I started with the whole like scaring people trend off on our playlist. Mm-hmm. We go to conventions and we always have like new people like hanging out with us at the hotels, and that's basically the benchmark if they can hang out with us or
it's,
not.
It's our baptism.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it's like no matter how many conventions we go to, we can watch those playlists and laugh the whole time. So
yeah, but we have different tastes because you find mine's like your mind is like weird.
Also, the other thing about Twitch or not Twitch, YouTube gaming, HD streaming and 60 frames per second are going to be free. So as opposed to $10 a month
on
Twitch.
Hold up. What kind of name is YouTube gaming?
It does exactly what it says on the tin, and I think that's the best thing that they could have done for themselves.
Why couldn't they just cut out Tube and Ing and just U Game?
Yeah, then it would be like Apple. It'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, it'd be like Apple, and people might not make the YouTube connection because you game sounds really generic.
You game.
you just have the same YouTube logo, just with the U and the game on the bottom. Not only that, but there's already a section on YouTube called YouTube Gaming.
Yeah, there is, and this is...
this is confusing. If I were 70 years old, and my, like, grandson was like, hey, Grandma, come watch me on YouTube Gaming, I would probably go to the YouTube section called YouTube Gaming, and instead of going to YouTube Gaming to watch him.
They're rolling that into the new YouTube Gaming site, though.
Yeah. I would have called, like, you know, it's Twitch. I'm going to call it Twatch.
Watch.
Yeah, Twatch.
Twatch is Twitch for cam girls.
Oh, which is
actually just Twitch. Ha ha ha.
Oh.
No, Twitch doesn't have cleavage or anything anymore.
You don't have a girl like talking about Cory in the house. It's not anime.
The other day, like I was going when I Awesome Games Done Quick was going on, I like went through the Twitch viewer, like the program guide. And saw lots of girl boobs.
If you start streaming, Rex, and I go to your place and just sit in front of the camera and be like, Cory in the house is not an anime. Big eyes. Cory in the house is not an anime.
All right, so I've seen that video, and it is horrible, not because of the fact of what she says, but because she's a knockoff.
What?
Casey Tron. I don't know if you've ever seen. Look,
yeah, I've seen
when
Casey
you're on
Tron.
YouTube. Yeah, you go to YouTube, look up Casey Tron. She, people were thinking, you know, that she was, I mean, her stuff is horrible. She has a resume out where she actually calls herself like a professional gamer girl on her resume and stuff. And for a while.
Oh, you showed me Casey Tron.
Yeah, 4chan tried to troll her, and then they realized, wait, she's the one doing the trolling.
Yeah.
But she pulls it off way better than, I think her name is like Brittany Venti or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a video of some girl complaining that Cory in the House is an anime and all that. But what she does is she goes to 4chan and gets all these ideas to do videos because she also did one for Ayla Mao also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I saw her Ayla Mao video, yeah.
And it's not as funny. It's a little bit like more try-hard than Casey Tron's like natural stuff. Plus, Casey Tron's logo is just Casey Tron inside the browser's logo. So.
Man, I wish I was a pretty girl that could do shit like this, but I'm not.
Me too.
Yeah, and all we can do is get on like that Sony Home or Sony, the PlayStation camera, and just sit naked on the couch.
You're like, hey, you look at my man cleave. By man cleave, I mean my balls.
So that'd be cool. I mean, we'll try to use it. Maybe it's a good alternative for the extra live stream this year.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, ideally, like, if it works as well as I'm hoping it will, we'll be doing it. We'll be doing extra life like entirely through YouTube Gaming this year because I don't want to mess with Twitch again. I played like earlier this year after I bought my Elgato box. I did stream on Twitch for a bit, and I paid for Twitch Turbo for a little bit, but I only streamed like a handful of times and. I didn't like it. It was really hard, even with Twitch Turbo and using, like, because I have a lot more, like, upload bandwidth now, but I had a lot where I was living before I moved, and, like, even, like, using all of the upload bandwidth, I could not get the stream to look good at all, and it was sad.
Well, I think I'm just going to start getting rid of my Twitch codes, the Twitch Turbo codes.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of them from Humble Bundles.
Yeah.
For Extra Life, and I'm just not going to use them. But speaking of Extra Life, it's coming up, and you know we always like to do things for it.
Yep.
This year, we want to open up the team. If any of you want to join and help Space City Nerd raise money for Texas Children's Hospital,
you're
welcome to.
You're not helping us, guys. You're helping.
No, this is all for Texas Children's Hospital.
Yes.
You can go to extra-life.org, and you can search for us, and you can ask to join. You don't have to pay anything unless you want to get into the platinum level, which really doesn't matter.
You get a shirt or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a shirt. And if you raise enough money, you get medals and stuff like that. But aside from that, we don't get the platinum medal because we just want to make things go. We just want to make kids healthy.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, we're going to have some prizes, including some that we're going to invite you to come out with us to the actual events. We may have a physical event at a store also. So stay tuned for all those plans. Last year, I think we raised close to $5,000.
Yeah, we raised an absurd amount of money.
Yes, hopefully we can beat it with your help. Not only if you can donate a little bit, but, you know, joining us and helping our campaign as well. But we'll have, like I said, more info on that soon. Also, I guess we're going to go through the calendar right quick.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I was just thinking, since I have a Retron 5 now, I need to see if that Nickelodeon Guts for Super Nintendo is still over at this one place, so we can play that for Extra Life.
Yeah, I saw that at the Game Over on Bay Area. I had it last time I went in there.
I want to play that with you guys. Also, Ice Hockey for the NES.
I am excited because now that you have the Retron pretty much, like, and I've got that, like, backwards compatible PS3, like, running the, the capture box thing is going to be so much easier because all we have to do is, like, plug in HDMI. We don't have to use my, like, fancy VCR upscaler thing. And
guys, we can do a retro stream. That's our thing. Oh, my God, guys, in retro.
Oh, no. Oh, God. So, Doug Funny, the guy that we had come around for the Funny Force tour not too long, just tweeted, any of my friends that happen to work at a GameStop and have copies of MSG at the store, I will pay you double to triple.
Right.
You can always just go to Best Buy and get one. I mean, it's not like,
yeah,
it's not like it's going to be like Bujin Guy or some rare ass.
No, he wants it now.
Yeah.
Because, wait, not only that, but this guy has made a campaign to not, like, see anything aside from the first trailer.
Oh, man. I hope he doesn't watch that launch trailer then, because there's big spoilers.
No. Wow. He said no. He didn't.
That's kind of hard, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, I was kind of mad because, like, they, for Civil War, someone released, like, the way each heroes is aligned, and I'm like, how the fuck am I gonna avoid all these spoilers up until next year? And Doug Funny has managed to avoid spoilers for, like, what, 3 years?
Yeah, for, like, one of the biggest games being released this year.
Yeah.
If not the biggest.
That's, and he's a nerdcore rapper that goes everywhere? Come on, wow, that's dang.
Mm-hmm.
He raps as well as he dodges
spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah.
The game is gonna leak. Like, it's just a matter of time. Like, I am waiting for it. I don't have anything to play it on if it does leak, but I don't know. If the 360 version, like, leaked tonight, like, I know I have to be, like, up and at him for work in about, like, 6 hours, like, I would spend the rest of the night J-tagging my 360 so I could play it, like, tonight and not get any sleep.
Tonight has not been the Space Engineer podcast. It's been the Rex cast. We let him take over tonight with Full House and Metal Gear Solid.
Well, he didn't talk about wrestling, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Only for, like, 10 minutes versus...
Yeah, no, like, now that I think about it, like, and it's funny because, like, I'm so tired. I barely slept, like, the last 2 days because they've had me, like, working so early in the morning this week. I was like, I might just sleep through the podcast tonight because I don't know if I'm going to be worth a damn. No, the whole thing's been me rambling about Full House and Lifetime and Metal Gear and...
No, we don't argue about how much...
Yeah, it's T-Mobile.
We don't argue about... how much space each one, or time we get.
I snuck in Chinese Ninja Warrior in this podcast. I am so happy.
All right, so let's go through the calendar. That way we can let Rex go to sleep soon. After, you know, he just goes ahead and takes off up most of the show.
Yeah.
But coming up on Labor Day weekend is amazing. Houston Comic Con last year. We had a lot of fun there. It was very chill. It's a smaller convention, but just like we did with Classic Games Fest, it's those smaller conventions feel really, really cool.
I really like the small Amazing Comic Con. It felt more personal. You, when you walk around, you're like, holy shit, it's Rob Liefeld. Holy crap, it's, you know, it's Jim Lee, and you can see they're not too far from each other. They're just like, hey, what's up? I'm with you fans. It's awesome. I like that vibe.
Yeah, tickets are pretty cheap as well. It's like $60 for the whole weekend. Yeah,
$35 for Saturday, and then $25 for Friday or Sunday passes. So, you know, bring the fam.
We have some, Yeah, they've got some crazy VIP tickets, ranging from like Deadpool packages to like Star Wars packages and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Rob Liefeld is their headliner because he only does one Texas show. Speaking of one Texas show, real quick, Kevin Smith is actually going to be at the Pop Culture Company on Thursday from 5 to 7.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's
signing
huge.
Autographs. Yeah. Yeah, that is really big.
Wait,
Pop
Culture are kind of moving to a new space, right? Or do you all
yes.
know? Okay, so yeah, they can. Because I haven't been there lately, and I'm like, can't fit all those people there, but yeah, so cool.
It's a little bit bigger, but I'm more than sure that there's going to be a line there.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
Because Kevin Smith is going to be also at the Improv that night as well.
Yeah.
There's also going to be Matt Nastos. He did a Phineas and Ferb on the Disney Channel.
Yeah. Ryan,
have you seen what he's working on now?
No.
He's bringing back Shogun Knights.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Googling this.
Yeah, check it out. It looks really awesome, and I believe Amazing is going to have an exclusive Shogun Knight cover.
That's awesome. All right.
And he's got that old school feel to it, too.
Yeah.
And as far as for programming, of course, you know, it's going to be a Friday through Sunday thing. Let's see. Some of the things that I kind of liked. They have Cosplay Family Feud.
Didn't they have that last year?
Yeah, because that's one of their things that they do most of. That's an amazing staple.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really cool. They have a couple of trailers, like 18-wheelers that are actually video game, like the video game buses.
Oh, yeah.
Times 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can see David Prowse, Mr. Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And, let's see. Well, Mark Bagley is going to be there, which we had talked about last time. I know Sean's going to be all up in there to get his stuff. I think all three of us, though, are kind of excited about Sailor Moon being there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can get all sign all my. I'll be like, just have like a case full of all my figure arts and like, sign this. And I don't know. Like, so I'm so embarrassed by this because the box says it's for girls, but I showed a picture to you, like this little like tiny Sailor Moon like statues, the little cheap ones, and I like now own all of them. And I love them so much because I like they're tiny. And then I like how it says Sailor Moon Band Presto for girls. And I'm like a grown ass man walking up in a bedrock with like 15 of them in my hands going, I'm going to buy this.
So good.
No, we did that when you told me, we drove immediately to the bedrock by us and ordered a bunch of them to come to us.
Nice.
But it was like me doing the ordering.
Yeah.
And Jen was like, no, I just want this one. I was like, Black Lady, please.
Yeah. No, there's a Black Lady little chibi thing. Oh man, they need to make her into a figure arts.
Yeah. Oh, God, that sounds so bad now. Black Lady, please.
Black Lady. You know? it's because they call her Small Lady, and then she became evil and wearing a black dress, so she's Black Lady. Just guys, not racist.
But Linda Ballantyne, Susan Roman, and Toby Proctor are going to be there. Linda Ballantyne is the first Serena. She's from the Deek. Dubbing. Let's not get back into that.
No, we went pretty far in
that. Susan Roman is Sailor Jupiter, and Toby Proctor is Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah.
Dude, we have all those figure arts. Just going to take them and, you know. They're going to be doing, actually, on Saturday, there will be a Sailor Moon panel.
Yeah.
Let me check. Sorry, I moved it. At 12 o'clock. So they're going to be acting out like classic scenes. Which is going to be really cool.
Is Sailor Wheels going to be there?
Sailor Wheels.
Sailor Wheels. Scott.
Sailor Wheels. She was Sailor Mercury, right? Wheels?
No. She was Jupiter.
Yeah. Jupiter is Wheels.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know what he's talking about, Saban, the guys that do... The people that do Power Rangers... not only destroyed what Kamen Rider is when they had brought over Mask Rider. they were planning on doing a Sailor Moon series where it was live action until they did their transformation. Then it was animated, and Sailor Jupiter was in a wheelchair.
And the song goes, Sailor, Sailor Moon, Sailor Moon.
It would have been great.
No, it was that trailer was awful.
Oh man, they I don't know how did that con. I don't even know what con that was, but they managed to show it, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, this is the greatest thing!" Because man, it looks so bad. It looks like some shitty Nickelodeon level high school drama, middle school drama.
Imagine what would have happened if they had put it out though, and people had nostalgia for it now.
Ironic nostalgia for the bad Sailor Moon. No one has ironic nostalgia for Mask Rider.
I don't think that's yeah, that's not possible. I hate Mask Rider. VR Troopers is kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Beetleborgs is kind of there. But, I mean, this nostalgia level that Power Rangers has is because they kept it Sentai.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, G-rated Sentai, let's say it that way. But no, Sailor Moon in its original form brought over was a blessing for anime here in the West, you know, for a more wider audience. So yeah, then they also have a big costume contest on Saturday, and Matt Nastos is going to be doing sketches and stuff. I can already see Ryan can you do Shogun Knights for me?
Yes, Shogun Knights. So
but no, no, the sketches are free for children 10 and under,
so I can get on my knees and I'll be like, I am a child.
Just bring your brother, little brother.
Oh, yeah, I can. Yeah, I could pimp my little 8-year-old brother. Pimp him so I can get a free... No, that's not... No,
I could just shave, and then we could get one.
No, look. It's like that guy. It was just some guy on Reddit, and there was just this kid, and he's like... You know, he was a little autistic. It's kind of... But he wrote to... I think Razer, or some company. And then the company sent him hey, it's cool. I'm glad you're a fan. Here's a bunch of stuff for your PC. And then his brother took it and posted it on Master Race. And I was like, fuck you, guy.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you could be just like those. You can take your little brother and be like those guys that the parents that charge by the hour to use their disabled kids to get in the disabled lines at Disney.
Oh, no. I already tried to pretend that my wife is the one wanting all the Sailor Moon figures. I'm not going to do that to my brother. It's like, yeah, this is for my wife. It says it's for girls. I'm not...
Really? You do that?
No, I don't. I'm trying to do it for comedy, man.
Okay. No, because, I have... what's his name? Andrew, excuse me, from Bedrock, texted me hey, does Jen want this or do you want this? And I'm like, nah, not that one. Whenever new Sailor Moon figures come in.
Yeah, no, that was the Bedrock and Sugarland, and they were like, you can get all of them at the back. I'm like, I have all of them. I'm sorry. It's like they have Chibi Moon. I'm like, yeah, I have Chibi Moon too.
So good.
Also at 12 on Sunday, we got to head this up. Voice acting 101 with Chuck Huber.
Oh, that'll good be fun. Friend of the show, Chuck Huber.
Yeah, that'll be awesome too. And then on what is it? So Gravity Falls is going to be there, the creator of Gravity.
I still that have not seen that big, show,
but that's a big get for that.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah. Did you know? There's rumors that Gravity Falls and Rick and Morty are in the same universe.
Are you doing some Reddit tier kind
of? No, it's I think it's a joke with the animators, but in one episode of Gravity Falls, a portal opens up, and then three specific things, a notepad, a pencil, and a cup with an emblem on it, gets stuck into the portal. And then in a random episode of Rick and Morty, a portal opens and those three things come out.
That's pretty cool.
Well, wait, they're not shared universes then.
Yeah, because they're different. Yeah, but the portal, they crossed portals, so yeah.
But no, it's not shared universes.
I guess. Multiverse.
No, not even multiverse. They're dimensions.
Whatever. We're talking about cartoons, guys.
I know we're talking about cartoons. That took seriously.
I'm serious about it. Come on. Of course, there's going to be I'm looking at the exhibitor list. That's a lot of exhibitors. I'm hoping that they move... that they expanded it from last time. Ooh, Hobby Town is going to be there. So pick up some Gundams.
Oh, yes. Gundams.
And, of course, Chuck is there. You know who's going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Jessica Von Braun. This
girl for you.
Yeah.
Oh, she's right there. Yeah, her name is right there.
Yeah. No, so it's going to be fun. I enjoyed last year's a lot.
Ugh, so Devin Kraft is going to be there. Ugh.
Oh, that guy.
No, Devin Kraft's a great guy. He's a friend of the show.
I do like how I'm looking at the Artist Alley list, and there's Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. What? It's a guy named Bob's Burgers. Yeah.
No. The character designer for Bob's Burgers is going to be there.
Yeah, put him in the name. Oh, cool. I guess Bob's Burgers is a bigger name than his actual name.
Yeah. It's like John Heatherton.
Yeah, like, well,
it's like, who's that?
You know, like, what if I create a show like Paper Towel Man? I'm sorry, that's the one thing in front of me. And, like, it becomes famous, and I walk around, and I'm like, Paper Towel Man! I was like, my name is Ryan? It's like, no, Paper Towel Man! I'm like, oh, come on, it's Ryan. Just call me Ryan.
Yeah, so I'm actually really, really happy to see Howard Chaykin.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did the original Star Wars series for Marvel, and he also worked on a lot of the G.I. Joe stuff, too.
So he was with Dark Horse?
No, Marvel.
Marvel? The original Star Wars?
The original Star Wars series from Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah, then also the original G.I. Joe series on Marvel.
Okay, all right, start.
God.
My bad.
Jeez. I'm happy to see that. We will be there, and then we'll probably head to Neil's afterwards for some fun. I know we'll talk to Amazing about hanging out with us as well, too. So you can find all of us out there and just have fun and stuff. Then the weekend after there, or 2 weeks after that, excuse me, because the weekend after that is Untapped, which you should go as well because there's going to be lots of good beer and stuff. And the weekend after that is the Fanfare by Comicpalooza, which they've also combined with the Battlestar Galactica anniversary. And on Saturday night, the 19th, replay. We're going to go ahead and extend the replay contest to another week.
Yeah, you got one more week, guys, so you can hear.
Yeah, we want a replay on here. We want them to read out the winners.
Yeah, the replay on the replay.
So share our posts whenever we mention replay.
Yes.
And that'll enter you into a chance to be chosen to go to replay.
Yeah.
That's a pair of tickets out there. Really amazing show. It's going to have Mega Ran, which I can't wait to hang out with again. Adam Warrock, who I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. I mean, guys, share this episode or last episode. Come on, guys. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Broken Satellite is going to be there. So is 10 Pixels Tall. So is Masuni Manami, who we know now is a female, and I feel bad still for that.
Yeah.
That, and we also did Manamana. That was horrible.
That was the best.
So that's going to be a great show. If you don't win tickets, buy them anyways. They're not even expensive or anything.
It's $15, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's like two Jack in the Box things, which is
Two Jack? What the hell are you eating at Jack in the Box?
That's $8.
The buttery Jack, which is awful.
I know, it's gross. It's like you can't tell me like this thing is more loaded with butter than our last stuff. Yeah, that's not appetizing, Jack.
No, I had one.
And then obviously you survived. Congratulations.
No, I threw it away halfway. Ugh. Because there was so much butter in my mouth.
You know what I threw away halfway? Because I wanted to try is the Double Down.
Man, I've eaten a lot of Double Downs in my time.
I was so sick. The one and only time I ate it.
Yeah, I got after the second one, like, I started dealing with it better as much as, like, I can deal with, like, weedy things. Because back then I just thought that's what happened after you ate was you got real tired and, like, gross feeling. But, no, the second time, I remember one time I ate a Double Down and I passed out in the Borders for like 2 hours.
Like, you wake up, they were closed.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
There's no more Borders.
Yeah, like, it was fucking ridiculous. Like, I was at work and I didn't want to drive all the way home, but there was a Borders close by and I was like, I'm just going to go, like, chill and read magazines until I feel better. And I, like, grabbed my Fangoria and, like, sat in a chair, and then next thing I know, it was, like, 9 p.m., and I was like, oh, shit, I slept in a chair at Borders the entire afternoon.
Oh, man. Thanks, KFC.
Yup.
Alright, we're gonna go ahead and start shutting it down. I think we did well for winging it on an episode. We went a little bit longer than usual, no, that's fine, and we had no guests, so hope you guys didn't get bored. But we're going to go ahead and leave you guys with Get Swifty with it, just because it was hilarious from the last Rick and Morty episode.
Get Swifty. Oh, you'll listen to it. Just listen to it. I'm not going to sing it because it's not going to do any favors. Just go listen to it.
Exactly. So thank you once again for listening. And on behalf of myself, Rex, and Ryan, good night, Space City.
Night, night.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get swifty. You gotta get swifty in here. It's time to get swifty. Uh-oh. You gotta get swifty. Oh, yeah. Take off your pants and your panties. Shit on the floor. Time to get swifty in here. Gotta shit on the floor. I'm Mr. Bulldops. I'm Mr. Bulldops. Take a shit on the floor. Take off your panties and your pants. It's time to get swifty in here.
New song, Swifty, double X, Swifty song coming at ya. It's the Swifty.
Hey, take your pants off. It's Swifty time today.